kingdom's come. I am not a Christian. One light lit up everyone. I am not a Christian. Taken away, I am not a Christian. I see there's no more price to pay. I am not, and I can see we're all okay. I'm not a Christian. There is no coming judgment day. I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I am not a Christian. Sell. I am not a Christian. I don't believe the devil's well. I am not. I don't believe there is a hell. I am not a Christian, and I don't believe in sin as well. I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I am not a Christian. Now that's good news. It ended all religious need. I am not, and I believe the world's redeemed. I'm not a Christian, and I am sure that love will lead once we all stop trying to be Christians. Now that's good news. Ain't that good news? I am not a Christian. Now that's good news.
Webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you so much, Katrina Benham and Robert Moore and Jumbo, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, April 18th, 2012. The only April 18th, 2012 in the history of humanity. Yes, that love is going to keep us together, beautiful humans. Welcome in on this edition of the Gospel Revolution Radio Webcast. Glenn Klein online in the studio of the Bay of the Holy Spirit here in Tampa Bay, Florida. Sean O'Halloran in tow, spinning the dials, playing the tunes, and taking your calls this evening at 1-800-436-3260. Get in early and often. That is a toll-free number in North America, 1-800-436-3260, and all over the world, if you are listening live, we're going to be talking about the worldwide reach of this here revolution tonight. We want to hear from you guys outside of Canada and the U.S. and Mexico. Call us at 425-5773. 813-425-5773. Now let us go from said bay across the Gulf of Mexico to, we learned last week, the Galveston Bay, the home offices of the Gospel Revolution. Please welcome online the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, the teacup poodle, the Kentucky Colonel, the most high and holy reverend. Please say hello to Mr. Michael Williams. Michael.
Good evening, Brother Glenn.
Good evening, Brother Michael. So happy to have you online speaking to the earth tonight about the good news and the fact that we are not Christians. That's good news, as Kate reminded us tonight.
That Kate. Yes, she did remind us, and thank you very much, and it's good to be here on the webcast, and thank you for being here too, Glenn.
Oh,
we appreciate you.
It's my pleasure.
We
have Jumbo, as we like to say. And although we have an email from the president of the Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures in Kenya, Moses Nagato, that says Jumbo, Mike and Glenn, and we know that that is the Kenyan greeting. But he says Mambo, Jeff. Now, I don't know if that is a typo or not, Moses. You'll have to inform us.
He says, I saw that.
He says Mambo, Jeff, and all
yeah,
the
Mambo is a dance. Is
well, at least we know it is a dance. I mean, it might not be a Kenyan dance. It might have been a typo.
Tell Jeff to put his dancing shoes on.
Mambo, Jeff, and all the Gospel Revolutionaries. The Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures is doing great. Some pastors are even sneaking to us in the night, like Nicodemus, to ask for Mike's materials. They want to be saved after all these years of their preaching. Here are the following guys at the Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures in Kenya. We have, now I'm going to try my best, you guys. I have hard enough problems with American names. But we have Elizabeth Kamuyu. That's Moses' wife. You talked to Elizabeth the other day on the phone, didn't you?
I did. What a sweet lady. She really is. I'm already endeared to these folks pretty deeply.
Me too, brother. We have, now this is just what it says, folks. If I can't pronounce it, I'm going to spell it. We have Joshua Laughter. That's Moses and Elizabeth's six-year-old son.
Yeah.
We have Rich Bright Mugo. That's his four-year-old son. And here are the members of the first ever Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures that just happens to be in Kenya. We have Danson Ngundu, N-D-U-N-G-U, Mary Wambui, Anne Jepokoske, J-E-P-K-O-S-G-E-I, Andrew Chage. I really wondering how bad I am butchering these names. Andrew's last name is spelled C-H-E-G-E. I've got to get pronunciations from you, Moses. Lucy Wambui. David Kururia, K-U-R-I-A. We have Lydia. We have Rose. We have Vincent Camo, K-A-M-A-U-O. We have Monica Wanjiru, W-A-N-J-I-R-U. And Mwangi James. And, of course, we have Moses. So that's a total of 15 people that, on some level, are partaking of the Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures that was founded, about a month ago or thereabouts.
And that does not include the pastor sneaking in to ask questions.
Exactly. In the dark of the night, like Nicodemus. Why don't you retell, what is that exactly, that reference that Moses makes about Nicodemus in the New Testament writings?
Well, there was such controversy going on, and Nicodemus was a man of some stature, and most likely was in some capacity in the synagogue. And he could not afford to show up during the day and ask questions like everybody else, so he came in by night. This is the story where we have Nicodemus asking Jesus about entering the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus told him that a man must be born again. And then later on, he said, "You must be born again." And that's where we have the Christian world has developed an intricate doctrine of how to be born again. There is no how to be born again. You just are. And you got that way, according to Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Read the whole chapter. It's all good. And you got that way by being born again from the dead. For all that were dead and in Adam were made alive in Jesus, who was the firstborn from the dead, and all of us that came with him, which according to the teaching between the first and the last Adam, all being dead and all being made alive, everyone was born again, born again, not just rebirthed, but literally born as a new creation that had never existed before. The Adam that died was the image of God that passed away. It was irreparable. It was not repairable at all. And so the image had to die. God did not send his son to repair the damaged human. He sent his son to put the human to death, the image of God, and then to raise to life a brand new creation, a new creature, a species that has never, that had never existed on planet Earth before. And that is the God-man, man-God, the one, Christ Jesus, and the entire body of Christ raised from the dead.
This is Glenn Klein online. That's Mike Williams. This is the Gospel Revolution Radio webcast. Glad to have you along. Glad to have you guys listening on the archive around the world. If you're listening live, we want to hear from you. That means that you got to pick up the telephone and give us a call at 1-800-436-3260. That is a toll-free line in Canada and the United States of America. We want you guys to call. We need to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening and it's live and it's approaching 9 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. of A. on Wednesday night, you're listening live right now. And you got to figure out the time difference wherever you're listening. But we want to hear from you. We've got a line available for you at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. So if you guys want to see a picture of Moses, eventually it'll be on the website. But right now, as we speak, it is on the Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution Facebook page. So there's Moses Nagata right there. I mean, he's a good-looking fella, I might say. So, you mentioned, Michael, that this image of God was destroyed. It was buried once and for all. And this precious brother of our, Dave Lurenz, from the Chicago area, puts a post on the Friends of Mike Williams and Gospel Revolution Facebook today. And he started a new Facebook page, and I can't right now bring it up, but it's something like to the effect of Christianity renewed or reignited or something like that. I'm misquoting it, but you get the gist of it. And he wants us to support his Facebook. And of course, we said we would. But on that comment, we said that we do not want Christianity to be resurrected. We do not want it to be revived. We want it buried in the ash heap of history with the other totalitarian regimes that have plagued humanity for the last 2,000 years. And we had Kate Song start the show, we are not a Christian. I am not a Christian, she said. And I told Dave on that post that most gospel revolutionaries, although we can't speak for everybody, would not call themselves Christians. And why is it, Michael, that we do not want Christianity to be revived, resurrected, reignited, renewed, or anything of that genre?
Well, if you're going to revive or bring back Christianity in some form, first off, you've got to kill off all 50,000 different denominations that are out there. What is it you're trying to revive? What is it you want to reform? You've got to kill off all these other ideas, or you're just going to add another idea to the to this fungus. And that's really as nicely as I can speak of Christianity, is just a fungus. And it's a parasite at best, and an absolute predator at worst. So there's really nothing to revive. I mean, you know, we speak of Christianity like, oh, I am not a Christian. Oh my God, how could you say you're not a Christian? But I could say I'm not a Mormon, and that would be fine. I could say I'm not a Catholic, and that would be fine to people who aren't Catholics. I could say I'm not a Baptist. Catholics would be fine with that. And vice versa. I could say I'm Pentecostal, and the Baptists would be thrilled, or the Baptists would be really disappointed if I'm Pentecostal. I could say I'm Baptist, and the Pentecostals would say, boy, you don't have it all. So what I can't even connect with that anymore. Now that I understand the gospel as being this incredible news that has no requirement on man whatsoever for redemption. In fact, the Christianity, all branches of Christianity make it very clear there is some form of qualification. I don't care to the what extreme you go to, from the ultimate extremes of Pentecostalism to the ultimate rigidity and just tradition of Catholicism, it all requires something out of man to have redemption from God. Therefore, I am not a Christian. And which part of Christianity does he want to revive? I don't have a clue what they're wanting to revive whatsoever.
Well, I just went on the Facebook page, and it's called Christianity Awakened. We don't want Christianity to be awakened. We want it to be gone and forever out of the human psyche. And the reason we want that, folks, is because there is nothing in the scriptures. There's nothing even in the Bible. Remember, the scriptures are strictly the law, the Psalms, the prophets, the Holy Writ, as defined by Yeshua himself. And the disciples, the only thing that all the disciples agreed on, and the Apostle Paul, was that the scriptures were strictly the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, not the New Testament, not even the Song of Solomon, not certainly not the book of Proverbs, not the book of Ruth. The law, the Psalms, and the prophets strictly are the scriptures. And there is nothing, Michael, in the Bible or the scriptures that mentions Christianity at all. This was a man-made concept that literally is not only imprisoned human beings, figuratively, literally has committed genocide in the name of Christ, but certainly recently, since Western civilization has gotten more civil, at the very least has kept human beings imprisoned in their souls and in their minds and their emotions.
Pertaining to the gospel, there is nothing about Christianity that's viable. Pertaining to organizations, very viable. Pertaining to control and money, very viable. Pertaining to getting people all together and in groups, very viable. To giving people a sense of belonging to an organization, very viable. To have anything to influence politics in any part of the world, very viable. But that's as much as you can come out of it with. The rest of it is the only thing that it does is that's the institutionalization of guilt and judgment.
You guys can't pass over that one. Do you understand that guilt and judgment, God, you may never have said that in 7 years almost worth of webcasts. Guilt and judgment has been institutionalized, you guys. Even people that call themselves atheists are motivated by guilt and judgment. The two things that the gospel removes has been so pervasive in culture that it has been institutionalized to the point that even people that call themselves atheists are motivated by guilt and judgment. We do not want that awakened. We want that to go away. And you know what? It's going to go away, folks. It's going to go away permanently. It is guaranteed. If I could say, Michael, it's a fait accompli. It's an it's an accomplished fact, folks. It's just a question of when. It may not happen in our lifetime. As we're going along on this little gospel revolution journey, we're getting a sense that maybe it'll happen a little quicker than we might thought. But even if it doesn't happen for 300 years, we know it's going to happen. And you're part of that process.
This is what you call in it for the long haul.
Exactly.
I'm telling you. You know, the wonderful thing about all of the gospel revolutionaries I know, they're not just in this for their lives or for the lives of others on the planet. They're in it for the hundreds of years that are to come.
The thousands of years.
Yes.
The tens of thousands. You guys understand? Tens of thousands, millions. We have such a puny mindset. There's going to be millions of years. We know the planet has been around, according to carbon dating at least, for millions of years. Historically, we know there's a recorded history for thousands of years. And all you need to know is what the year we are in the Chinese calendar or in the Hebrew calendar. It ain't 2012 to them. It's in the 5,000s. This is going to be happening for a while. Go ahead.
And in the history of mass communication, we are still in the infancy. Do you realize that 500 years from now, people will be sifting through everything that people said during the birth of mass communication in this last couple hundred years? And we are just now in that realm of internet and communication on such a instantaneous global level. And these voices are going to be examined hundreds of years from now, as historical fact. And one of the things we're going to find out is one of the earliest websites to ever go online was gospelrevolution.com,
right,
born just a year and a half after the advent of the internet.
And the voices that Mike refers to, you guys, are your voices. The voices of Moses Nagata from Kenya and Lee Lau from Hong Kong and Brian Foley from Ireland and Kate Benham from Australia. I could go on and on. Howie Wirch from Canada. Jeff Robertson, who, by the way, reports that Mambo in Kenyan means what's up. What's up? I like that.
What's up?
That's a good name for a dance, too. What's up?
The what's up dance.
Well, it's ironic, and you guys that have listened to the webcast for a while know that this whole thing is not rehearsed. I plan it out a little bit, but Mike and I talk only about the gospel. We don't talk much about the show at all. We just go with it. But it's kind of ironic that Mike talked about the prevailing view in Christianity about the importance of the tithe or the importance of collection of your money. And this came across my screen the other day. One of the most heinous offenders of the scriptures and of the grace of God is a guy named Creflo Dollar, who is a prosperity teacher. And, well, let's just listen. Now, I have to read some of this because there's some spots where the people that put this on YouTube make some comments via the screen. So I'll comment on it so you guys are up to date. But it's very well worth listening to know the depths of the deceit and the wickedness. Not wickedness apart from God, beautiful humans. Don't misunderstand me. Creflo Dollar is perfect and righteous and holy in the sight of God. But his teaching is corrupt.
Blood of Jesus, so we can't shoot and stone people like we used to. All we have to do is repent, and God will forgive us and take us where we need to be. But I tell you, man, if it wasn't for the blood, there'd be a whole lot of us being stoned and being in hell right now, but over the tithe. But for the blood of Jesus, we'd be doomed. I mean, I thought about when we first built the dome, I wanted to put some of those little moving bars and give everybody a little card. They stick it in a little computer slot. And if they were tithing, beautiful music would go off and, you know, welcome, welcome, welcome to the world, dome. But if they were non-tithers, the bar would lock up.
Access denied.
the red and blue lights would start going, the siren would go off, and a voice would go throughout the entire dome, crook, 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 crook. Security would go and apprehend them, and once we got them all together, we'd line them up in the front and pass out Uzis by the ushers. We'd point our Uzis right at all those non-tithing members because we want God to come to church. And at the count of three Jesuses, we'd shoot them all dead. And then we'd take them out the side door there, have a big hole, bury them, and go ahead and have church and have the anointing. Aren't you glad we're under the blood of Jesus? Because if we were not under the blood of Jesus, I would certainly try it. Folks, this is a serious thing. Folks, this is a serious thing.
And now they say, you better believe it's serious. Serious to the point where it was spoke about in the Bible. Paul said each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. But Creflo Dollar admits it, which is forbidden.
If you take time to tithe the tithe correctly, it's impossible to go to hell. Because you're doing all of that, man, tithing will keep you in heaven. It'll keep you in the presence of God.
Salvation by works, it says, is exactly what he's talking about. And they say, on a side note on the YouTube, tithing does not keep you in heaven.
Is the agreement. We know the tithe, according to this, we're believing right now that the tithe is the covenant. I'm telling you that your tithe is your covenant connector. I'm telling you that all the promises that God ever gave you, you cannot get them without being connected to them with the tithe. I'm telling you the only way you're going to get hooked up to healing is through the tithe. I'm telling you the only way you're going to get hooked up to prosperity, deliverance, or any promise in the Word of God is through the tithe.
All right, Mikey, that's only about halfway through. What do you have to say to Reverend Creflo Dollar?
Oh, I hope we're through listening to it. Oh, my God. Well, I want to invoke my heritage and condemn this teaching, this horrible, horrible Antichrist teaching, this horrible teaching that is supposed to be somehow reflective. See, this is the thing. Only Christianity can insult the Spirit of Grace the way that they do. Nobody else can do it better than Christianity. Christianity on all levels insults the grace of God. When they say you've got to tithe to be in covenant with God, that's an insult to God's grace.
Bro, he said
when they say that God's still angry, that's an insult to grace.
He said that the tithe is your guarantee to heaven.
Yes, it is redemption. How could this man be so ignorant and even hold in his hand what contains the scriptures? Because the scriptures are in his Bible. But to be that ignorant, to be that ignorant.
Did Michael cut away?
I'm here. I'm finished.
Yeah, we're not going to go back to that. But I just, it's just, you guys, this is one of the most popular and quote unquote successful ministers in the United States. This is what we're up against. And you just go to our YouTube and see the whole thing. Just YouTube and search Facebook or Creflo Dollar. You can see the whole thing.
Sickening.
It gets, we're not going to play anymore. It gets grosser, and we condemn it. We roundly condemn, as Michael says, is our heritage that is in the scriptures, to condemn the teachings of judgment. We condemn the teachings of Creflo Dollar. We condemn the teachings of Kenneth Copeland. We condemn the teachings of John Hagee. We condemn the teachings of Franklin Graham. We condemn the teachings of Kenneth Hagin Jr. Kenneth Hagin Sr. is dead already. He already found out how screwed up he was. This is Glenn Klein Online. We've got callers. We want to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. Get in on the conversation. It's getting interesting. 1-800-436-3260 all over the U.S. of A and Canada. 813-425-5773. around the world. Got an email from an old friend of mine, Eric Jurgensen, that said, I tuned in for the first time tonight to check you guys out. So far, it's better than American Idol. That's awesome, Eric. Thanks, Ej. Much appreciated. We're better than American Idol, Michael. I love that. So now, ladies and gentlemen, Mikey, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You all right?
I am.
Okay. All right, now we are instituting a new segment called the Kenyan Corner. If I had a drum roll, I would ask for a drum roll, please. Sean is providing the drum roll in the background. I don't know. Probably you couldn't hear that. But this is going to be a weekly question that comes from one of the members of the School of the Scriptures of the Gospel Revolution in Kenya. This particular question, which Michael has not previewed, is from Danson Ndugunga, N-D-U-N-G-U. This is from Danson. I'm hoping that I'm even pronouncing his first name properly. He asked Michael, how was Jesus able to tell the people in his days that your sins are forgiven, and yet he had not shed the blood for the forgiveness of sin? Thank you guys for your good work. What a great question, Danson. Thank you.
Yes, Danson, thank you so much. And it's always good to hear from one of my students at the school there. And we are honored and privileged to even entertain your question. Thank you. And the Jesus, of course, responded in this forgiveness where he offered forgiveness of sin. And the remember, the Pharisees got upset about him healing and also forgiveness of sin and all of these things. And he said, so what's the deal? He said, I heal the blind man. I raise the dead, and you get upset because I say I forgive you of your sins. First off, he's God. He can forgive sin even in his earthly walk. The issue that forgiveness of sin is not redemption. To have sin forgiven. Because, see, in our redemption, we have been, that would have been to forgive the sin, the sins of actions or deeds or breaking of the law at that time when the law was intact.
Would it be fair to say that even he might have been saying, Yeshua, Jesus, that he forgave them ahead of time of what he knew that they were going to do to him, even?
It could be any of that. But even if he did forgive before the crucifixion, he would certainly have the power to do that. But that doesn't have the power that we found ourselves in, because even if he forgave their sins, they could commit sins again. This is not the forgiveness of sin that came at the cross, which was the eradication of sin. Jesus didn't just forgive us of our sin at the cross. Jesus did away with sin completely. So even though that he would have spoken, your sins are forgiven, it would be like being a Christian now. You'd be back in trouble again real soon because the law was still in effect. Jesus took the law away and made it very clear to us through his power and the demonstration of his faith to heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the leper. Those were simply demonstrations of what faith could do, so we would understand how that the faith of God redeemed the entire planet and not only forgave sins at the cross, but did away with sin altogether.
Well, Danson, we hope that helps you on this edition of the Kenyan Corner. I like
and
that.
And if there's a follow-up question, send another one in.
Yeah, we're asking for at least one question a week from the Gospel Revolution School of the Scriptures in Kenya, headed by Moses Nagata, that you can see his picture at the Friends of Mike Williams at the Gospel Revolution Facebook. And soon enough, we'll be on the website at gospelrevolution.com. We are going to return. We have a very special caller online. But before we do, I want to read this email that just came in. She says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. I've just been lucky, and I want to share some with the Gospel Revolution. So I'm sending in another $50. Also, please greet Jeff in advance. Happy birthday greetings for me."
Yeah.
"I want to thank all the Gospel Revolutionaries that have been so supportive of my growth in gospel logic and grace. And yes, by the way, there are also pastors here in the United States that are listening to you guys that are being enlightened by your teaching. And I want to thank Mike, my sugar breeches. Hope, peace, and love." And that's from Carla Barton of beautiful Tampa, Florida. Thanks, Car.
Thank you, Carla.
So appreciated. So much appreciated. You guys, we're going to be back. Don't go anywhere. And when we return, we have a very special caller that you are not going to want to miss right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Don't go trying some new fashion. Don't change the color of your hair. You always have my unspoken passion. Although I might not seem to care, I don't want clever conversation. Never want to work that hard. I just want someone that I can talk to. You just the way you are.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam." And it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation, that your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night, taking your calls tonight at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260, whether you've never called or have called frequently. We want to hear from you at 800-436-3260. Sean is waiting and willing to take your calls, and worldwide, the number to call directly here at the studios is 813-425-5773. Michael, in that spot on the Image of God that was so beautifully produced by Robert Moore, you talked about that the human heart, through the gospel, has been created to endure or to suffer, endure, and recover from loss.
Mm-hmm.
And recently in the Gospel Revolution, we've had some serious loss, folks. Some very dear friends of ours. In fact, the couple that introduced me to Michael L. Williams about 14, 15 years ago lost their daughter to suicide last Thursday. And or I learned about it last Thursday. You've been in touch with a very good friend of yours, a pastor, minister, who lost his nephew to suicide. And today we learned that our dear brother Shane Wadowski from Wisconsin lost a very close loved one to suicide. Taking the issue of suicide, Michael, what does the gospel inform us about suicide?
Well, the only thing that makes suicide a gospel issue at all is the eternal effect of the gospel. And in this situation, once it's done, it's done. And that is that these people are in the presence of God. I will never forget the very first time that this came up, and I know that it's pressing back 18 years ago, and when somebody finally asked me this question after beginning to teach on this issues of law and grace and what would happen to somebody if they committed suicide. And but they were talking about, of course, believers, and I was still in that situation at the time. And and I remember answering that question with great trepidation, and I told them that that person would go to heaven. There is nothing to differentiate their deeds from anyone else's deeds, because we are not under the law. We are under grace. And of course, I was qualifying that if they had believed in Jesus, that was their, that they were good. And it was really amazing. After I finished that session, there was two people. Now, this was not a large crowd. I bet I was speaking to no more than 25 people that night. And one of the persons came up and told me how comforting it was, and how that they've dealt with suicide, and that it was, what do you know? You don't know how this is going to affect what they do or don't do. But one gentleman came up to me in that meeting, Glenn, and I will never, ever forget it. And he came up and he told me, he said, Mr. Williams, he said, I have dealt with thoughts all of my life. And he said, the moment that you said, now this is, these are his words. All I can do is tell you what he said. He said, the moment that you said that, that the consequence of suicide was not burning in hell, but that the person would go to heaven, he said immediately, he said, suicidal thoughts left me for the first time in my life. And I was blown away by that, to say the least. And since then, I've just been observing as to what this might do for people, and or two people. We've had, if you're involved with people on any level, you're going to experience the issue of suicide at some point in your life. And, of course, the one that we've dealt with, the person that was extremely suicidal was our dear friend out in California.
Ron Fox.
Ron. Yes. Ron. And, Ron called in, and there was that same response to him, which was online in front of the whole world. And he felt that it was almost his destiny to commit suicide.
Right.
And we made it clear to him that if he did, that that he would be greeted in the presence of God. We didn't hear from Ron for years.
That's not quite accurate. What we went through, you guys, this was about 6 years ago. This was on the outset, or the onset of the webcast, probably in early 2007, maybe. And Ron called us and said exactly what Michael said, that he was pretty much being compelled and thought it might be the will of God for him to kill himself, as had many relatives in his lineage. And we told him, we talked about it quite a bit, and then at the end we had to say, as we always recommend to anybody when contemplating any decision, that he should follow his heart, and that you can't go wrong following your heart. After we clearly delineated for him that in no way would God judge him, that he was as holy and righteous, as perfect as anyone else, no matter what he decided to do, and but to follow his heart. And then about 2 weeks later, we heard from him saying that he chose at that point not to kill himself.
That's correct.
Yeah, not to kill himself, because he just decided to hang around. He made the choice himself. He followed his heart to make the choice to hang around for his children and his grandchildren. And then a few weeks ago, if you go back, it might be 6 weeks ago, but if you go back on the archives on the website, you'll see a webcast entitled Thank You for Not Killing Yourself that had Ivan Rogers on it initially talking about his book, Dropping Hell and Embracing Grace. And then all of a sudden, we got a phone call from Palm Springs, California, from the aforementioned Ron Fox. And if you guys have not heard that show, you want to go back. Moses, you guys in Kenya may not have heard that show yet. You want to definitely hear that. That, according to Jeff, is the most listened to webcast ever. And it struck a chord for sure. It went a little bit viral. And we want to thank Ron for calling in that night, and we look forward to hearing from him again. So, all right, so as far as the gospel issue, everybody who dies, no matter at their own hand or at anybody's hand or naturally or disease or whatever, is instantly in the presence of God, whatever that means, whatever heaven's like, because we don't know, folks. See, we're actually dealing in reality here. We don't know what the life after this life is like. We just know that life goes on. That's scientifically verifiable. We know, for example, that our persons are comprised of energy. We know that energy never dies. We know that we're about 70% water. We know that water never goes away. It just is evaporated. It comes back down. And we know that we're matter, and matter never goes away. It just goes back into the earth. So we know that life continues. What happens to our soul and our spirit, we don't know. But whatever it is, it's in the presence of God, and it is good. It's a good thing. So no matter how somebody goes from this temporal existence into whatever else is out there, everybody's good to go as far as God is concerned. So that's the gospel issue regarding suicide. Those people, those precious people like Naomi Martindale that passed away last week, and I spent a lot of time with her. What a precious young woman, and how devastating that was to get that news. But we know that they're good to go. But Mikey, just from a human standpoint and from your understanding, what do you tell somebody that is a victim left here on Earth, like Shane, like Stephen Dene, like ourselves, like Ron, who have been left in the wake of suicide? What do you say about suicide as a man who tried to commit suicide three different times?
Well, the one thing for sure, you know, and here's the calisthenics with suicide. It's first the grief. You cannot help by just being really angry at some point with the person who has taken their life, because we feel at some point that this was a choice that they made. But the true issue of all of this is this resolve, and that is that the human heart is designed by God to incur, endure, and recover from loss. It doesn't make any difference what the loss is or where it comes from. I believe that by personal experience and by observation, of myself even, that we can recover from loss. Now, there are things that will prevent this recovery from taking place, and I'm telling you, the number one culprit is self-pity. But self-pity is so heinous that it is hardly identifiable by the person who has it. You most never will ever get anybody to say that they feel sorry for themselves. And I remember, and I've told this before, within the year after I lost my family, two daughters and four grandkids, and I've had no contact with them at all in these more than seven years now, I suppose. But I remember within the year after that, I was around someone who I consider to be a friend. And they told me that they thought that I was feeling sorry for myself. Now, I so desperately wanted to be out of this pain, I didn't care whether or not they were right or wrong. I embraced that. And now when I've told others, I'm really ticked off at this person and said, you know, they really thought they were wrong. Everybody takes my defense, which I'm very grateful for that. But let me tell you something. When he told me he thought I was feeling sorry for myself, I thought, well, if I am, I'm going to stop. And it really was a turning point for me. And now, whether I was or not, that's anybody can surmise those things. But I can tell you that the thing that had me dead stalled in the water was thinking of what had happened to me, not strictly and only what had happened to somebody else. It was what had happened to me. And the things in life, the amazing thing about the gospel, when you know that these are not spiritual evaluations of you, of whether you're loved or whether you're accepted, if you lose somebody, whether it's a lover, whether it's death, when we disconnect these evaluations of our lives, of having some spiritual consequence to this or spiritual determination about us, we are in a much better place to walk out in freedom. But there's a lot of things, and I you know, the number one right at the top of the list. I'm telling you, I used to feel sorry for myself. I know I was in self-pity, and whether I was in it in this situation, somebody might say, but yeah, it only been a year. It doesn't make any difference how long it is. Self-pity is self-pity.
Well, here's the thing, and here's because I experienced it up close and personal when Michael went through that. Yeah, you did feel sorry for yourself. Of course you did. It's very, very human when you suffer loss to feel bad about it. But you also felt incredibly sorry for Hazel and Audrey and Sarah and Geneva and Jason and your four grandchildren. And if you guys don't know exactly who all those people are in the story, just go back and listen to the webcast or read some emails and get on our email newsletter. We actually share our lives with you. That's what we do. Yeah, you were feeling sorry for yourself. And then when somebody or something confronted you with the truth, here's an interesting thing about the truth. Even if it's not all good news, the good news is the truth. But when it's the truth, it moves you. If you embrace it, if you hear it, if you have an opening in your brain somewhere to the truth, it propels a human being forward. That is how people who have not embraced the gospel, who have not been saved or are being saved by the good news of our redemption, of our perfection, of our holiness, of our oneness, that's how they move forward. It's on some level, they embrace reality. They embrace the truth or the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, I'm telling you, self-pity is just so heinous. I'm telling you, when I know the power of the gospel and its ability to cause us to recover from loss, and then when that recovery just never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever comes, there's something there preventing it, because the gospel is the power of God. And it is the power of God. And then to have something in our lives that we just can't get over. I mean, and Glenn has shared this with you guys. Glenn went for years in a situation where in the loss of his camp, and where that there was self-pity all around that for him. And man, he come to the end of that and bam, popped right up out of having that those things come back to him time after time, because these are things that happen. And see, the things in the past need to become history as quickly as possible. And self-pity will not allow things to become history.
Can you say that again, please?
I'm not sure. What did I say?
You said things of the past need to become history as soon as possible. Yeah.
Yes.
And you guys, here's a little clue that we have. The way that that happens is supernatural. It's the only miracle left.
Yeah.
There's not a miracle of, oh, God bless her, the mother of Naomi throwing herself on Naomi's body and praying for Jesus to bring her life back. That didn't happen, of course. It would not have happened. That God's not in that kind of miracle business anymore. But there is one. The miracle of a tornado going over your house and not blowing your roof off, that's not a miracle. That's life.
Yeah.
As Michael has said on a couple of occasions on this radio show, the miracle is that your house was hit by the tornado. That's the unique occurrence. Almost everything that we have, the things that Benny Hinn calls miracles or the things that the corrupt Creflo Dollar calls miracles, those aren't miracles. Those are very explainable by manipulation, by people's actions. But the miracle that makes no scientific sense, that has no ability for the human mind to show a cause and effect other than the fact that it happens, is the exposure to the gospel. The exposure to this, as the email said today, the newsletter, this good information. It doesn't make any really rational sense that meditating or repeating or rehearsing the story of the cross should get somebody to get a tragedy into the rear view mirror as quickly as possible. But
as quickly as possible.
And as Michael has said on many occasions, you know you're over something when you can laugh about it. And Michael talks a lot and has talked a lot about the loss of his family through this tragedy with his son-in-law, Jason, molesting his sister-in-law, Michael's youngest daughter, Audrey. Audrey's spoken about it via the newsletter. And I asked you recently, Michael, within the last few months, if you were over it, and you said yes. And then I just put your words back on you, because that's just what I do. And I said, can you laugh about it? And what was your response?
I never had anybody. See, that's why it's so good for us to communicate. I didn't know until you asked me, Glenn, if whether or not I had come that far. When you asked the question, I realized I had. My goodness, you know, me and Hazel and Audrey have all sat and laughed about things that happened in the court proceedings, and we laugh about the things that Sarah used to do in Geneva. These are people that are not even in my life anymore. We laugh about my grandkids that I wouldn't know them if I saw them on a public street today. Things said and done, and we treasure memories and we hold them dear. And it really is an amazing thing. So I just, you know, in light of all of these things where people have found no hope in suicide and my goodness, I just want to encourage you. And of course, the thing of it is, if suicide takes place, the fact of it is you're going to be with the Lord. I will not back down on the promise of God. These are not my promises. I don't have a right to withhold the promise of God of redemption from anybody. And, but I also know that the gospel does and will take care of past issues and put them in the rearview mirror. But you've got to let them go. You can't just keep muddling in them. You can't keep reworking them. And sometimes to admit you're just wrapped up in self-pity, that's the only thing else there is. If you're still in sorrow after years, There's only one answer. You're in self-pity. There's only one. People lose everything on this planet. They lose their children, their parents. They suffer the loss. I tell you what, sometimes when I stop and measure my own degree of self-pity that I have. I don't know why this story stuck with me. This woman in one of the countries in Africa that were in under the slaughter, and she had her family. They came in, these murderers, and they murdered her all of her children. They murdered her father. They thought they murdered her, but she survived. She crawled out of that village with dead bodies and her own dead children laying on her body, and crawled down and crossed the river and drug herself as far as she could, and wound up being rescued by someone, went to another town, recovered there, and she was raped during the process of this. And when she, after she got there and been there for a while, she realized she was infected with HIV from the rape. And but this woman recovered. She recovered mentally and emotionally. She went back to the town that her family was murdered in and started her own business after getting an education, and went back and is living a fulfilling life. Now, come off it, people. We can overcome crap.
You know, we have no idea at what level this woman had an understanding of the gospel. But her ability to do that, you guys, came from the gospel. The gospel is resident in every single human heart. This I do know, that coming out of World War II and the Holocaust, the survivors of the Holocaust and the families of the victims of the Holocaust, they established the modern nation of Israel out of that loss. And believe me, those people that are living there today have absolutely, generally speaking, even though we have listeners in Israel, as we do in over 185 countries now, most of the people, like 99.9%, have absolutely no clue about the gospel, about their oneness with God, about their oneness with each other, about their oneness even in themselves. But if they can make it, if the victims of the Holocaust can make it, if this woman that Michael is describing can make it, if Michael Williams can make it, if Glenn Klein can make it, you can make it too. But we cannot recommend the meditation, the contemplation, the rehearsal, yeah, the consistent, persistent, repetitive nature of the gospel enough. God, that's why we do what we do. That's why we're producing a book. That's why we're sending information to Kenya. That's why Moses and the folks are studying Michael's teachings on the book of Hebrews right now, because it is the power of God. That's the only power of God's left. The power of God is not here to protect you from storms, natural storms. The power of God is not here to heal your marriage, to heal your children, to keep your kids from not killing themselves. That won't do it. The only thing the gospel does is it removes guilt and judgment. That's it. The gospel adds nothing to your life. Read the newsletter that's on the homepage right now at gospelrevolution.com. It adds nothing to your life. It only subtracts from your brain guilt and judgment from an eternal or spiritual sense. And then from that point on, the Holy Spirit that is resident in every single human heart, then it could be resurrected into your soul, and you can actually become spiritual. And we've learned over these years that spiritual means to be rational and to have a vital and logical mental disposition. And once you become rational, all of a sudden you can get over things like your youngest daughter being molested by your son-in-law. You can get over serious loss. Michael talked about my summer camp. You guys have no idea how ingrained in my fiber this place was from the time I was 9 years old. And it was grievous to me. I got over it. If we can get over the suffering of loss, serious loss, relational loss, loved ones,
lovers, as Michael said, you can get over whatever you're facing as you continue to expose yourself to the good information, to the good news, to the gospel. Michael, we cannot recommend this gospel enough to people.
No, it is the power of God to the saving of the soul. I believe what Paul said. I've experienced what Paul said.
Right, and we experience.
The gospel is the power of God.
And we
experience the saving of the soul.
We experienced it by accident. You guys, we came into this just wanting to know what the truth was. We didn't think it would do anything. We're just telling you this in the wake of it. We're just telling you the aftermath in it. And if there's anybody that understands the power of the gospel, he has been waiting online a long time, and I know he's been enjoying the conversation. And if there's any guy that can laugh about tragedy, laugh about his own circumstances, he is on the line with us right now. Please welcome online the stand-up comic and the self-described chemo boy of the Gospel Revolution from Garden Grove, California. You know him, you love him, we can't live without him. Please welcome online Mr. Richard Mull. Richie.
I'm still here. I had fallen asleep, but I woke up again. This is very taxing and trying, because I've been trying to come up with something, but something spoke to my heart for Moses and Kenya and the School of the Scriptures and the people over there dealt with. And here it is. Is there somebody else on there?
Yeah, the people online can't. I know you can hear it, Richard. Sean's taking care of it right now. Kim, we need you to just chill out while you're listening. So go ahead, Richie. Sorry.
Well, that's all right. I heard somebody talking, and I'm wondering who it was. But this is from Moses, Kenya, the School of the Scriptures, and anybody they're affiliated with. There was a song written here, a musical song years ago, called "The Lion Sleeps Tonight." And in Kenya, I guarantee the lion sleeps tonight. But the lion of the tribe of Judah never sleeps. His spirit is working in the hearts of the people everywhere. So they need to just continue to just get that gospel out and get people to hear that thing and get those people saved, get that salvation moving. For the lion of the tribe of Judah never sleeps. And I thank God for that.
We're going to have that as bumper music for next week. Remember that song, Mikey?
I do.
Ooh, 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 in the jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Ooh. Richie, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay, but as for that guy, Crapolo, was that his name that we listened to on...
Yeah, Crapolo Dollar, that's exactly
right.
Yeah,
he's full of crap, because, you know, Paul said in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. And he's preaching man's righteousness to be right with God and get blessings. And in Galatians 5:4, Paul said, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So he's trying to encourage people to fall from grace. And he's full of crap. And he needs to know that he's full of crap. So I condemn the words that came out of his mouth in a teaching. I just condemn those words.
We're united in that condemnation, Richard Ball.
Amen. Thank you, comma, kindly. Holding my own.
All right, wait, hold on. We have a lot of new listeners. You guys need to know that our dear brother Richard has been under the diagnosis of stage 4 cancer for quite a while now, and you're in treatments there at the UCLA Medical Center. And according to good sources, we have good sources on this, that you're actually feeling pretty good.
I feel fantastic. If I felt any better, I wouldn't know that there was anything wrong with me, based on what the doctors say.
Richie, what do the doctors say? Because I know that they're not used to seeing something like this from somebody who's in stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, I'm an enigma.
You are the enigma of the Gospel Revolution.
Yes, I am. I'm a mystery. I'm just a puzzle, a mystery. They don't understand it. It's 14 months now, diagnosed stage 4 colon. They did some surgery, cancers in the liver, cancers in two bones, cancers in the lung, and they gave me a total of 24 months to live. Well, it's been 14 months. I feel better now than I did last year. I'm going through clinical trials at the UCLA Medical Center right now. I'm in my second round, cycle 3. First round was 8 weeks. Had cycle 1 and 2. Had a CAT scan done a couple of weeks ago. Results of the CAT scan. Cancer is not spreading, but the tumors that I have, 23 different tumors, are growing, but only by like 15%, which is really not bad. I'm kind of excited that they're not going crazy in there.
Richie, so what do your doctors say? What do they make of this?
Well, they don't know what to make of it. They want me to continue on the clinical trials, which I am, for the next two cycles, and then we're going to do some more testing. And in the meantime, there's some other treatments that are going on out there that are showing a lot of promise that are only a few months away from FDA approval, which would mean I could get those treatments anywhere nearby here instead of driving, you know, an hour and 10 or 15 minutes to UCLA Medical Center every week. I can just go down the street about 10 minutes and get the same or get a treatment that would be more beneficial than what I'm undergoing now.
All right. So for the folks, Richard, that we're heard in 185 countries. Thousands and thousands of people are hearing your voice right now who are suffering or who have a loved one suffering, and they're going through whatever medical treatments that they are going through, whether it be for psychological treatment or treatment below the brain for different ailments. How important and how much time are you spending in the gospel these days?
Oh my goodness, hours every day. I listen to the archives on the webcast, all the different archives, as many as I can get in a period of time, like 2 or 3 hours worth. And then I listen to CDs that have been published that have come down in the last several months, the summits and the conventions that we had, and the trip to Calgary about what has Proverbs got to do with it. All these different things. Plus, I read a lot in the Bible, and all of a sudden a word will come to me. And here's a good one today. Two words came to me. Filthy rags. And I said, okay, that's in Isaiah chapter 64. I'll go over there and take a look at it. So I looked at it, and in the Hebrew I looked up filthy and I looked up rags. And in Isaiah 64, I believe it's verse 6, it says that our righteousness, God is speaking, man's righteousness is as filthy rags. So I wanted to know how filthy those rags were. Excuse me. And so I looked it up in Hebrew, and sure enough, they're soiled and they're menstrual cloths. So I'm going, that's pretty filthy.
That's pretty nasty right there. They're basically God saying that our righteousness, you guys, that we heard from Caplow Dollar earlier, if you think that you've got anything to do that could take away from your relationship with God or add to your relationship with God, that God would be any closer or further away from you from anything that you do or think, as God is prophesied through the prophet Isaiah in the scriptures, it's as righteous and as beautiful as a used feminine napkin.
Isn't that wonderful? I always carry one with me in my back pocket just in case somebody wants to show me their righteousness, self-righteousness. I'll show them mine. Because Paul said, I count everything as dung. And everybody's creating these piles of dung, and some of them are bigger than others, and some smell better, but they all stink.
They're all kind of stinky.
I'm telling you, but I think the focus is, when I focus on the gospel, which I do most of the day, every day, and meditate on these things, my mind is off what's going on inside my body. I'm not concerned about that. I really am not. The doctors are dealing with that. I'm taking the medication they tell me to take. I feel fine. So why quit doing something that makes me feel good? And I got an appetite, and I'm telling you, I just get hungry thinking about food, and now I'm getting hungry again, and I just ate about an hour ago. So
what did you eat an hour ago?
I had chicken breast, a chicken drumstick, a pile of mashed potatoes 4 inches high, asparagus tips, and green beans, and then I topped that off with a handful of cashews and almonds.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the appetite of a man that is 14 months into stage 4 cancer and has gone through radiation and significant chemotherapy.
Definitely.
Stay logged on, ladies and gentlemen, for the adventures of the stand-up comic of the Gospel Revolution. Hey, Richard, you'll be happy to know that, and Michael will verify this,
that Richard, there has been nobody that has been more supportive in every way of the gospel revolution than Richard Ball. Is that fair to say, Michael?
Oh, that is for sure. Okay. I'm so grateful for, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like everything went dead.
Well, we're used to that in the cellular technology, Michael. You'll get used to it eventually.
No, Richard is number one to me. Richard is such a dear, dear friend and has been for 20 years. And anybody that hurts Richard, I'm ready to fight. So I remember...
Did you guys see the email I sent you yesterday about the prayer of serenity?
Yes.
That was pretty funny. All right, so when we say that Richard has been supportive in as much as anybody, we're talking about in every way. In
every way.
We're talking about emotionally, in contributing to the webcast, in financial means. Now, Richie, you've been in on this thing from day one. You heard the first webcast ever. And you know that eventually, after a while, we started pledge drives. Now, I want to announce, ladies and gentlemen, and you guys know that we always say this is a history-making moment because it's the only April 18th, 2012 ever. This is the first time ever, ladies and gentlemen, that we have received donations not on a pledge drive. Richard, you're going to love this. Not only did we get the $50 from Carla, and she just sent another email. She goes, oh, my God, Richard, I'm crying to hear you. OMG, I love you. I miss you. I've been thinking about you. I'm so happy to hear you. That's from your dream girl, Carla. But then also, we got another $100 contribution. This was unsolicited, folks. And by the way, in the history of the Gospel Revolution webcast, is unheard of. We got a $100 contribution that came through tonight from Santon, Arizona. From Brad and Holly Wilson. Brad was with us, and they were in bed together, frankly, a few weeks ago during the pledge drive. And Brad and Holly chime in with $100 tonight, and they would say, thank you so much, Mike and Glenn, aww, and everyone else who are involved. He did it all.
Oh, my.
Richard, there's nothing better for you to hear tonight. There's nothing better for Michael to hear. There's nothing better for me to hear. There's nothing better for Carla to hear. There's nothing better for Jeff to hear. There's nothing better for Moses to hear. He did it all.
It's finished.
Yeah.
It is finished.
Yeah, that is for sure. And I'm telling you, if anybody has any question about this whole issue, even as Richard has walked with me through some of the darkest times of my life and the best times of my life, I've been there with him through virtually every thread of this, and on a daily basis and sometimes multiple times. And I'm telling you, this doesn't change with Richard at all. And he is to say that he's an enigma is an understatement of all proportions. And the purpose of this man's heart is just undeniable. And we love you, Richard. And goodness gracious, you have a whole lot of people out there that are thinking about you and love you dearly, but none of them more than me.
Thank you, Michael. On that note of embarrassment, I'm going to sign off and say thank you for a job well done, Glenn, Sean, Jeff, Michael, everybody who's involved in this, and Mr. Moore especially. I love this guy. Thank you for a job well done. I'm going to sign off and let you guys get back to it because I've got some things I need to be doing right at the moment.
Oh, you're like Mr. Busy all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I've been on the phone for an hour. Next time I'll send an email, give you an update.
All right, Richie.
He's got to go eat.
You got to go eat. All right, buddy.
You started it, not me.
Love you.
All right, love you too. Talk
all
to
right,
you later.
There is the enigma of the Gospel Revolution, a new nickname. Please add that, Jeffro. To the website of the titles of the Gospel Revolution. Richard Mull is now the stand-up comic, chemo boy, and the enigma. Pretty soon he will catch up with you, Michael, with the amount of titles on the Gospel Revolution. We are going overtime on this here webcast.
Please let us welcome online Kim and Arlene Baker. Thank you so much, you guys, for waiting from Kauai, Hawaii. Kim and Arlene!
Yes. Yes, this is just the one half. This is Arlene.
Hey, Arlene.
This is Kim.
Hey, Kim.
This is Kim. How are you, Glenn?
Kim, so glad to hear. How excited are you to have heard Richard Mull? That's what I want to know.
I'm sorry?
How wonderful was it to hear Richard Mull?
Well, it was just too wonderful. And I am the I was a stand-up comic and still an enigma. So I'm
Wait. You were literally a stand-up comic?
Yes.
All right. So tell us your cleanest, best joke right now, please.
No. And listen, Glenn Klein.
That's your best stand-up joke, Glenn Klein?
Yeah. I was.
That is funny. I will give you that.
But I'm still an enigma. So anyway, I won't keep you certainly any longer. Good to hear you too, Mike. You as well. It's a very difficult Glenn to chill out. With 83-degree weather. But we did it. I had a rendition of The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Please do.
I had one. I had one. I don't know. That was probably the intermittent interruption there. Since you said it. One of my favorites. At least one of my favorite renditions.
Well, we'll have it on the next show. I guarantee it for bumper music. But we got to go now. We got to go now, Kimmy.
Yeah, okay. Well, I had one question from Michael.
Real quick.
Yes, Mike, how are you?
Wonderful.
Good. Let me ask you. What is your slant on the double? Or a double portion.
We missed that. You cut out a little bit, Kim. What was your question?
Okay. What is the double portion or a double portion?
Jesus.
Okay.
You know,
Jesus is the double portion. He's the triple portion. He's the tithe. He is everything. There anything in the scriptures that was a what? In the past the cross became a who, and Jesus is the double portion. He's the tithe. He's the great high priest. He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. He is all in all.
Thank you, Kim. We love you. We love the Hawaii reporting relatively regularly recently on the webcast. by the way, you guys that have listened to the show for the last several weeks. Steve Trueblood, after hearing I can't remember his last name, but Marcus's story there in Maui, Steve Trueblood actually sought out Marcus on the beaches of Maui. You can check out Steve Trueblood on Facebook as well. Thanks, Kim. We love you.
Thank you. Back at you.
All right. There goes Kim Baker.
Thanks for your time.
From Kauai, Hawaii. We also want to thank Richard Mull for calling in. We want to thank Carla Barton for giving to this effort known as the Gospel Revolution, as well as our beautiful humans in Santa California, Brad and Holly Wilson, Moses Nagata out there in Kenya. What an evening, Mikey.
It's been wonderful. Thank you, guys. Every one of you. And goodness, your participation, your love, and to the school there in Kenya, we just we give you our best and our love. Our thoughts are with you. Thank you so much for the questions. You guys keep impacting Kenya because we are in a gospel revolution. Thus, the name of your school. So you guys be strong. And you're going to see some wonderful things take place. Thank you, guys. I love every one of you.
We are in a gospel revolution in Kenya. We're in a gospel revolution in Hong Kong. We're in a gospel revolution in Canada. We're at a Gospel Revolution in Hawaii. We're at a Gospel Revolution in Tampa, in Houston. Frankly, ladies and gentlemen, this is a worldwide gospel revolution. Let us hear from you this week at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. Check out the website. And Mikey, thank you. Also, thanks to Jeff Robertson for being the Secretary of Defense and the administrator of said revolution. Also to Sean O'Halloran for being the producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire of this here radio show. And until next time, this would be Glenn Klein online saying, Shalom, everybody!
Just be a queen. Don't be a drag. Just be a queen. Don't be. Give yourself prudence and love your friends. So a kid rejoice the truth. Just be a queen, whether you're broke or evergreen. Your black, white, beige, chola, descent, your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether like disabilities, if you outcast with leader teeth, rejoice and love yourself today. Cause baby, you were born this way.